I don't count it lightly to be here today with you, dear men of God, and you, dear church folk today. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and it's a privilege, amen, in depths of my soul, Brother Ricky, to be here. I appreciate those kind words that Brother Brandon mentioned. You know, I'm like Brother Steve Price yesterday. He said he was probably the most nervous preacher you'd ever see in the pulpit. I don't know, maybe I'm number two, but me and him rank kind of close, because, you know, it's always an humbling thing. It's a quivering thing, I think, in my heart to stand in the presence of God and handle His precious word. You know, we've been challenged in these days over the last few months and years now to draw closer to God. And I believe it with all my heart. The way we do that is through His word. Yes. He speaks to us through this word. And, and I appreciate it. Got up early this morning and began to read. And you know what? The thing is, God changed my mind. I've been studying something all week, but a thought just kept running through my mind all morning. I woke up at 3:30 this morning, preacher. And God said, go write that down. And so the next thing I know, it was about 7:30. And I need to start getting ready to come up here. But I do appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate Brother Brandon asking us to come. And if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And Brother Brandon has made this word kind of just echo in my brain all week that we've been able to be here. And I do ask you, he mentioned it a moment ago, I do covet your prayers in regards to Brother Pete McCarson's family. What a dear man of God he was. He was not only called to preach, but was a deacon in our church for years, song leader, Sunday school teacher, World War II veteran, and just the list goes on. But a wonderful dear man, and we're going to miss him. And we'll be doing his funeral tomorrow. And so I would ask you to pray for us. It's going to be one of the most sweeter funerals that I ever got to have the privilege of being a part of. But why? Because I believe he lived a life that was pleasing unto the Lord. And it would be a great celebration tomorrow. So you pray for us in that regard. But if you will, stand with us today as we read this first chapter in the book of John, chapter number 1, just for a couple of verses. And then and I'll give you the word that Brother Brandon keeps bringing up all week. And God changed my mind about 3:30 this morning. In John chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this good number. Thank you, Father, for the invitation to be a part of this Bible conference. I appreciate the company that I'm in today. I love them dearly. I thank you, Lord, for these dear men of God. And I don't count it worthy to even stand in this platform and share this day with these dear men. But I, Lord, thank you, God, you've counted us worthy in the blood of the Lamb and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've called us to be fellow laborers together. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, you'd help your servant now as we stand to preach the word of God. And Lord, may a word just ring out and encourage our hearts today. Let us be an encouragement to one another as the days that are soon coming and are approaching us now for the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things and blessings in the name of that dear one who shed his blood on Calvary and gave his life for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I want to preach on this talk today on the supernatural word. The supernatural word. Now, those of us that have been here have been listening knows that Brother Brandon has been using that word because it has been a supernatural thing to hear from the Lord in these days. To hear God speak to us, and it is a great privilege to stand and to not only preach the word of God, but to sit and to listen and be fed by God Almighty. I'm telling you, I appreciate my King James Bible. I appreciate my word. Listen, I love on it. I mark on it. I sleep on it. I cried on it. I hug it. Amen. You know why? Because it's precious to me. Well, what do you mean precious? Well, if you look there and if you know your English, and I'm not a big English major, even though I did pretty good in English. But it's hard for a mountain boy to learn proper English in school, you know. But I like the classes that we took in English. And one thing that I did pick up was is that that in verse number one, it says in the beginning was the Word.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if you got the right Bible, right, which I know we all do here today, that word's capitalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that tells us, if you went to English class and paid attention, that that is a proper name.
Right.
A pronoun, if you will. A proper name, capitalized. And so whenever I read that, the name Jesus, the name God, the name Holy Ghost jumps off the page at me because it's capitalized. God emphasized here that in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word is forever settled in heaven. And so, you know, and we all know where heaven is. It is above this natural realm which all of us live in. So I pulled down my big, thick, giant Noah Webster dictionary. Got one of them big ones, you know, about this thick. Takes you about 10 minutes to find a word in it. But once I read down through that, I found the word supernatural. And I wrote this definition down because I couldn't remember the whole thing. But I ever t- when you listen, it's amazing when you can get filled with the Holy Ghost reading the Noah Webster dictionary. I believe according to history, he was a man right with God and began to write these definitions and use the Bible to help him write the dictionary. And here we find this word supernatural means being beyond or exceeding the powers or laws of nature. Not occurring through the operation of merely physical laws, but by an agency above or separate from these. I'm talking about what's been going on here this week has been supernatural. Even what's going on in our personal lives, and all year long I've watched the supernatural take control. So I put a big capital S in front of my supernatural in my outline. Why? Because he is above. I'm telling you, he's operating above the mere physical laws that he, the one, put in place from the beginning. And he notice this. He says, that which transcends nature. The supernatural. Listen, I'm talking about there's things in this Bible that God reveals to us that no other could reveal to us. And that it speaks to us like no other book or no other entity could ever do. And so I want to preach on this thought a little while today on the supernatural Word.
Amen.
For he says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Have you ever thought where Jesus was?
Yes.
In the beginning? The Bible clearly tells us here, he was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God. Yes. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. You know, when God said, let us make man.
Right.
In our own likeness, in our own image, they didn't have to call an external committee together.
Right.
Amen. And start thinking about all we need to do to bring creation into fruition. All he did was sit down with the three of them. And they all agree as one all the time.
Amen.
There's never been a disagreement among the Trinity ever. And now we see, they say, let us make man. And there they were in the beginning. And so I want you to see something. First of all, today, the world's greatest announcement. The world's greatest announcement. Now, we've been all over the Bible this week, hence the Bible conference. Hallelujah. And I'm no different today, so let's go over the Bible together. In Isaiah 53... I want you to see the greatest announcement, because I see this great proclamation, Brother Ricky, that Isaiah puts forth. He says, who hath believed our report? Amen. You know what God's people need to be doing today? We need to be sharing the world's greatest announcement. Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Right.
I see this great proclamation. You know what? There's a lot of so-called preaching going on in these days, but there's not a whole lot of proclaiming.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. I like what one of the preachers said this week. I couldn't remember which one. Amen. It's not about the style of preaching. Every preacher has got a different style, so to speak. Amen. Whether he's loud or whether he's soft. I tell you right now, I sat in here the other day and was fed so I walked out here full as a tick on a hound when Brother Tom Gillum started preaching and filled my soul. Amen. And hardly ever gets his... I tell you what, the most I'd ever seen him move was when he did that little finger thing. Amen. I mean, he got excited when he started doing that. But I'm telling you, I walked out of here. It's not about how boisterous or how loud or how animated. We all got different styles. But give me somebody that'll proclaim the word. That'll stand up and tell me about Jesus in this day. Not. Listen, we all need counseling on finances, and we need counseling on marriages, and we need counseling on all different kind of things. But let's not make that the sole purpose as to why we come to the house of God. We need some proclaiming. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? Who among, and I know I'm preaching to the choir today, so to speak, but you know, sometimes the choir needs to get back in tune. Amen. And we need to say, hey, are we really believing? I like what the sister said a moment ago. Hey, listen, COVID only threatened me with heaven. Amen. I mean, I haven't been sick with it yet, but I'm going to tell you something right now. God chooses to take me out. That was according to his plan, not COVID, because he created COVID. He allowed it to happen. And so if God takes me out, so be it. But in the meantime, amen, we need to take God's word and we need to stand and proclaim it to a world that is in desperate need of some news besides what's going on all around us.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's the proclamation here. And then I see the plan because of verse number 2. He says, for he shall grow up. Amen. When we see this announcement here, and Isaiah prophesying many years in advance of what was getting ready to happen when the Son of God was to come to this earth. And he tells the plan here. He said, yeah, he's going to grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And I'm kind of overlapping a couple of my points here, but let me just say this. I want you to know, if you deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you might as well take the Bible and just lay the whole thing aside. Do you realize that's not being taught in our Bibles of centers of higher education these days? I'm talking about biblical education or Christian education. A lot of these so-called liberal schools have quit teaching. They give up on the virgin birth. And to deny the virgin birth is to deny the very deity of the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, we're in a mess these days when we got all kind of books and all kind of so-called Bibles and all this kind of theology going on. Give me the proclamation. Give me the world's greatest announcement.
Yeah. Right.
Because God said he's going to be virgin born.
Right.
I'm talking about that grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And notice this. A lot of people try to paint all these different pictures and try to make him all fancy and all those kind of things. The Bible clearly contradicts that by telling us here that he has no form or comeliness. Not that any man, he wouldn't have any beauty that anybody would desire him. He came into his own. He came looking like a man. He had to come looking like a man. He had to come looking like the everyday man. Why? Because listen, the Bible clearly tells us when he came, he came down to where you and I are. He condescended down to you and I.
Right, yeah, right, sure. Right.
And took on the form of sinful flesh. Amen. He didn't want to draw his attention to himself. He was drawing. He said, if I be lifted up, there was going to come a day. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But there was going to come a day that he would stand and then he would be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men, all men. Unto me. But listen, there is the plan, verse number 2. And then, notice in verses 3 through 10, and I don't have time to read all that because the real preacher is going to get up here in a minute. But I want you to see this. He is despised and rejected of men. How true of that today? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But notice verse 5. And afflicted, excuse me. But he was wounded.
Yeah. Amen.
For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now I want you to see something. I know you've been in church long enough to know that all that in verse number 5, you see all those past tenses. I'm bringing an English lesson back in here real quick. You see here, but he was wounded. He was bruised. And notice the chastisement of our peace was upon him. But notice the last phrase of verse 5.
Yeah.
And with his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
Present tense.
Amen.
Notice that. I'm glad, praise God, that the world's greatest announcement included a plan and it included a purpose.
Yeah.
For what I need today.
Yeah.
Amen. I needed God yesterday. And I need him for my eternal security in the future.
Yeah.
But thank God that in the world's greatest announcement, in the supernatural word, I have what I need to live for today.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. A lot of people are looking for answers.
That's good.
I've got one for you.
Yeah. Good.
Amen. We had revival last week, and we stood there toward the end of the service, and a couple of nights we stayed around till, you know, it was almost 11 o'clock when I left there.
Yeah.
Preacher standing around talking, and we've talked for about an hour one night till finally we were talking about all solutions to all what's going on, you know, because it's amazing how many of us pastors and preachers have gone through the same troubles and trials in regards to combating what's been going on the last year. But you know, at the end of that conversation, we all come to the same conclusion, the same answer, that what the world needs, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I see the world's greatest announcement. Number two, not only that, I see the world's greatest arrival. Look back with me in our text there in John chapter number 1. Because, and again, I told you a minute ago I was overlapping a couple of things. But let's move down verse number 11. For he said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God,
yeah,
even to them that believe on his name,
yes,
which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
I not only see the world's greatest announcement there in Isaiah 53, but I see the world's greatest arrival.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a supernatural,
yeah,
arrival.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It was announced and then was prophesied. And then guess what? That prophecy came to fruition.
Yeah.
And this arrival was the greatest arrival of anybody that has ever lived.
Right.
I'm talking about, praise God, when the Bible said he was going to be virgin born, that root out of dry ground. I'm talking about all these prophecies that led up to where we read the story every Christmas at Luke chapter number 2.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But then I see all of the announcements leading up to it, where Joseph got his marching orders, so to speak, and Mary got her instructions. I like it whenever both of them got this part. Listen to it. Both of them got this instruction: thou shalt call his name. Amen. But listen, I'm talking about the word now, the supernatural word. Both of them got instructions. Listen, don't you even think about calling him anything else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Don't you even think about it. His name shall be called, in one instance, Emmanuel, and which means God with us. Another thing, he said, Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people,
yeah,
from their sins.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that right.
Amen.
I'm talking about the word. The supernatural word. And it involved the greatest arrival. I mentioned the trip. Amen. And by the way, a lot of people have been teaching this, and this is exactly wrong. God did not lay aside his deity to condescend down to be born of a virgin and develop inside his mother Mary. Amen. Because, you see, I heard a preacher preach this one time. God will never be big until he gets big in you.
That's good. That's good.
And he preached on Mary's process of the moment that she was told that she was going to conceive. And those 9 months when she carried the Lord. And in the midst, you know, and even Mary in the beginning, she said, you know, how can this be? Seeing that I know not a man. So she had an element of concern. And I don't know necessarily it was doubt, because the Bible clearly tells us here that she was devoted and she was well spoken of, and the Lord chose her.
Yeah.
But you think about it. But as that baby began to grow, and it began to get larger and larger and larger inside her. Amen. And the next thing you know, it come time for her to deliver. And you know, and I'm not going to go into all the great details there, but all I know was Jesus was getting bigger in her in a hurry.
Yeah.
Amen. And God will get big in you if you'll let him. And the bigger he gets, amen, the more the fullness of God starts to be in your heart.
Yes.
But notice this. He was virgin born.
Amen.
And that it was without the help of a man. Amen.
Yes.
Now, people, when you teach that, you say, well, that can't happen. I'm putting the emphasis on the supernatural.
Yes.
You see, that, yeah, in our natural mind, we think that that can't happen. But you know what? In these days, a man's trying to play with God's plan anyway, trying to tear it up.
Right.
Matter of fact, I preached last night on the pursuit of truth. Amen. And understanding this, every time that man rebels against God and tries to change gender or try to change the God's course for the home, man and woman, all these things that God outlined in his word, every time that man does that, he's saying that God made a mistake and that God's a liar. Amen. To say that I'm going to get off my outline here because I'm trying to hurry. But notice this. He said, every time that man says, well, I should have been born this way. What you're saying is God made a mistake and God lied to you. Amen. But I read in my Bible, but the Bible says clearly, let the word of God be true.
Yes.
And every man a liar. So notice this. Man wants to think, well, those things are impossible. There's no way that Jesus could have come to this earth without a man. Imagine if man had put his hands on it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, listen, I'll stand here and make 10 mistakes before I get out of this pulpit, simply because we're just flesh and our hands have been on it. But I'm telling you about the one that is the supernatural.
Amen.
The one that is the word. And there is no mistake. It's forever settled in heaven.
Yeah.
And when man tries to put his hands on it, it'll be a gong. Y'all know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to tell you what that is. Hey, I grew up in the mountains. There's a mess, and then there's a gong.
Yeah.
Amen. And we all know what messes are, but a gong is something. You can kind of clean up a mess a little bit. But when you get into a gong, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. Every time I handle an electrical cord, it's a gong. It takes forever. Enough of that. I'm talking about the greatest trip. And that's the birth. But I also want you to see here that in this world's greatest arrival, Jesus came. Why? I read it to you there in our hearing this morning. He said, listen, he came into his own. And his own received him not. For not only to see the greatest trip here, but I also see the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy. His own received him not. He came to his own. You know, one of the greatest tragedies of our day, ladies and gentlemen, is to watch sinners come in the house of God and leave the same way they come. Amen. To go out and try to tell a lost world about Jesus and they stand there and spit in your face and deny the very presence of the Holy One. You know, it's a tragedy of our day. Yes, and I realize it. It's great to come in the house of God. It's great to come in and fellowship and enjoy each other's company and enjoy the good things of God and around God's world. The word, in world, is his world.
Yes.
But let me say this. There's a world out there that has rejected him.
Yeah.
And continues to reject him.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And it's one of the greatest tragedies. And it's going to continue. And the Bible says worse and worse. Yeah. But notice this. In verse 16. I see the world's greatest arrival. By the way, these things are supernatural. Because I see the world's greatest transaction. He said, and of his fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 17. I'm talking about the greatest transaction. Hey, I remember the morning that I got saved. It's coming up here real soon. My anniversary of my salvation is happening next Sunday morning. No, two weeks. It will be. Not this Sunday, but next. Easter Sunday morning, 1974, Jones Gap Baptist Church. As an 8-year-old boy, I give my heart to Jesus. And the greatest transaction that ever occurred in my life happened right there beside the pulpit. In that little old country church, not far from here. Amen. I'm talking about the greatest transaction where God says the penalty of sin, the law required that I pay that price. That my sins had to be paid for. And I had to give an account. Because what? I'm unrighteous. I'm unholy. I've disobeyed God. And I had rebelled against God. You say, preacher, how can an 8-year-old boy do that? I'll tell you, man fell in the garden and we've been falling ever since. But the greatest transaction that ever took place out of the midst of a tragedy where men rejected him and men didn't want him. You know what Jesus did? He said, I'll go to the cross anyway and I'll be crucified and I'll shed my blood and I'll sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And all those that will, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
What a great transaction that takes place. Amen. I'm talking about grace for grace. Amen. I'm talking about there's grace for here. There's grace for yesterday. There's been grace, Brother Ricky, and during all the trials that you and I both have shared down through the years, talking about all those prodigals and all those kind of things. And there's been grace for that. There's been grace today. I praise God for grace to be able to stand here this morning. And you know what's going to happen? Grace will be there tomorrow.
Amen.
Why? Because of the transaction that took place.
Amen.
Resulting from this great arrival. Lastly, and I'm done. I want you to see this. I want you to see the world's greatest answer. And I'm talking about that grace. I kind of got ahead of myself there. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2 verse number 5. And I know this may be elementary for a lot of people. But it sure blessed me at 3:30 this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the supernatural.
I'm
talking about the world's greatest answer came from a place that is above what mere physical limitations can provide. The world's greatest answer. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now think about this where we're seated this morning. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know about you all, but amazing grace never gets old to me.
Yeah.
We could sing that song all day long. And it never gets old to me. I love the song Amazing Grace. How sweet. You ever really think about the words? How are they still sweet from the moment you experience that grace of God? That saved a wretch. Don't call me that, preacher. Hey, I don't know about you all, but I was a wretched, low-down sinner as an 8-year-old boy. Whether you got saved at 8 or whether you got saved at 80. Amen. Oh, wretched, vile sinner was I. But thank God there was amazing grace that came and spoke to my heart. I'm talking about the wonderful, wonderful grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
That He showed, the Bible says, that He showed toward us through His Son. Because why? For by grace are you saved.
Yes, amen.
Through faith. And that not of yourself. Amen. I believe it was Brother Stinnett Ballou. He said that faith is that which you can hold in your heart that you cannot hold in your hands.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
You ought to write that down. Amen. Faith is that which you can hold in your heart that you cannot hold in your hands. I like what he said yesterday morning about taking that step of faith. All he did was move on God's one word when he stepped out of the boat. What amazing grace. God's word. The word. The supernatural word. And then not only that, there is available grace. And I told you, we're in Bible conference, so you go ahead and work that Bible out this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9, the Bible says, "And he said unto me." Now, you understand here that Paul, I love Brother Tom when he preached on that fastening yesterday, because the Lord brought me right back to this verse here at 3:30 this morning. When he said, "And he said unto me," you know, Paul dealing with that thorn in the flesh. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me."
Amen.
There's amazing grace, but then thank God there is available grace. Available. You see, I can't imagine the things that the Apostle Paul went through. But boy, when you read how he described them and then how God's grace was sufficient for every step. I don't know about you all, but that was a supernatural answer.
Yes, amen.
To his earthly, terrestrial problems.
Yes.
A supernatural answer. There's amazing grace. There's available grace. But then I like what he said over in our text in John chapter 1 verse 14. There is abundant grace.
Yeah.
For he says, "And the word," there it is again, capitalized, "was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of" what? "Grace and truth." I'm telling you, there's amazing grace, and it certainly is amazing. You know, we always say, "Oh boy, wasn't God amazing in that service? Or wasn't what he did amazing?" And you know what? What's really amazing to us is always the same with him, because he can swear by no other. I mean, he's no great. There's no greater than him, and so there is no greater grace than him himself.
Right.
So what is supernatural to us, what is amazing to us, has always been what he's always wanted to give. Always what he wanted to give us, and then it's available.
Yes.
Thank God for that available grace.
Yes.
But then there is abundant grace because he says it's full.
Yes.
Now listen. I remember over in the Old Testament whenever Elijah was dealing with the widow woman, never once did it mention that her barrel ever got full of oil. But there was always an abundance when she went back to the meal barrel.
Yes.
Excuse me, I said meal, oil, but I meant meal. To reach down and get another handful.
Yes.
There was always an abundance to get another handful. You know, I think a lot of times we think we have an abundance because we've got a 3-car garage and it full. Shelves in the cabinet that are full. In the cupboard. And we've got all kind of bank account that's full. And I don't know if anybody's got that. But think about it. We think there's an abundance because everything's full. When all the while that widow woman thought her life was full because she could reach a hand in and pull out what she needed. And that was an abundance for her. Amen.
Yes.
And I don't know about you all, but every time I've gone to ask God, and God said, "Just put your hand back in there,"
yes,
I've pulled out another abundance.
Yes.
"Unto him which is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think."
Yes.
The supernatural word.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this time in the word. Lord, I pray, God, that you've not only helped me, Lord, but you've helped others here this morning. Father, help us now, Lord, as you turn our attention now toward the dear man of God who will speak to our hearts.
in just a few minutes. Help Brother Brandon in the furtherance of this meeting.
Yes.
God, I pray you'd help some precious soul that may be in need today of that supernatural word. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.